So we've got open lines for you. Let me give you the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, and welcome back. We've got two more hours to go for you of the special edition of Coast to Coast AM, our Christmas edition with our Christmas stories and miracle lines. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. Jan on the wild card line. Hey, Jan, good morning.
Hi, George, and Merry Christmas to you and your crew.
You too, Jan. Thanks.
I have a Christmas story to tell you about my mom, who was from St. Louis, and she passed away in 2006, in March of 2006.
Okay.
But my parents would always go over to Lake Carlisle, and she would always find four-leaf clovers. And she would, at one time, found in one sitting about 77 four-leaf clovers. She had witnesses, and she wrote it down, and she put them in the books. And that was, you know, quite an accomplishment. And, you know, not hearing about this from anybody, I thought, oh, that was pretty good. So we'd always joke back and forth. I live in Dallas, and she would say, I would say, well, whoever passes on out of this world first, let's give a sign of four-leaf clovers. And we'd say, okay, that'd be good, you know, since she was known for that. So in 2006, she took a medication, and it was a conflict with another medication that the doctor gave her, and she got her into a hospital. They did a procedure on her. She went into a coma. I had to get up there from Dallas and just thought it was an interaction with a drug, and didn't know that the hospital did a wrong transaction, and I had to make the decision to pull the plug, so they say, on her, which was horrible to do, but sure. That was her power of attorney. So I was in shock and had to do it. And she was very healthy. And so it was really devastating. Although I'm a corporate person, computer person, make a lot of big decisions, that was the hardest one of my life and broke my heart. And so went back to Dallas that Christmas. You know, I usually go to St. Louis every Christmas, love the snow, and this Christmas I didn't. And I thought, well, let me go out and get some Christmas decorations one Saturday before Christmas, a couple Saturdays before Christmas. And I would, you know, just like anyone that loses, you know, their parents, you're heartbroken, and then you're so emotional. And I would cry. I got so tired of crying, I would go in the shower, I would cry. And this time I would cry and talk to my mom, and I would say, Mom, if there's a heaven and hell, and you have to come from heaven to come down and give me these signs, because I could see I could see different things that were happening that she was trying to contact me. And I said, please let me know if you're in this dimension, like people see ghosts, please let me know if this is, you know, that your show and all your guests talk about, if there's other dimensions. Please today give me a sign, you know, our sign, Mom, give it to me in a way where, you know, it's not going to be obvious. So if you're in another dimension and you can just come and go and see everything I'm doing, please verify that for me. I'd be so happy to know. So get ready to go shopping. I go to the store that I usually go to buy some Christmas bags. And I look over on the wall and I see, oh, my God, they have Christmas ornaments over here. That's something. So I meander over, look at the Christmas ornaments. And I look over, and there is, out of all the Christmas ornaments, there is an Irish dancing, redheaded, like my mother was, ornament. And on the skirt were about 8 or 9 four-leaf clovers. And there was my answer. I was skipping up and down. I was like, oh, good, thank goodness. There are the other dimensions, you know, that was her confirmation to me. You know, to be Christmas, to see an Irish ornament that looked like it was for St. Patrick's Day. So that was my confirmation that I love to share to people.
You got it.
And my mother's best saying that she would always say is, the best is yet to come.
I love it. Have a great new year, Jan.
You too. Take care, everyone.
Absolutely. Let's go to our wild card line on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Yes, Mr. Norrie.
JC.
Tonight, yes, it is I, JC, God's 10 stars.
Merry Christmas, JC. Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you too, criminal crime lord. I know that you're making out like a bandit. Now listen, I have something very special for you tonight, being Christmas, that I have a story that I want to read to you. It's the night before Christmas, as told by J.C. Webster III. I know you're pleased. You're going to be honored to hear this.
All right.
Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready, J.C.
It was the night before Christmas in the Senate and the House. They passed the commie bill, each one a louse. The donkeys are rapping. Republicans turn red. They could have done something except they hid under their bed. Obama gets off to be in Hawaii to dream up his next big lie. Now, Sarah Palin, she's still politically pitching when we all know she should be home cleaning her kitchen. Foreclosures are up and wages are down. Bernanke can get a job as a circus clown. Al Gore is still droning about global warming. Only drawing paint could be more boring. They can't catch Osama or close the damn borders. It's all because they want a new world order. And that's the truth from God's 10-star channel. It's Merry Christmas, and you can keep all the other holidays because in my country we celebrate Jesus' birthday.
Whoa, that's JC with a pretty interesting poem this time. Have a good new year, JC. I'm sure we'll be hearing from you. And of course, as we hear during his paranormal moment every couple weeks on Coast to Coast AM, none other than investigative paranormalist Joshua Wapi Warren. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Well, I'm feeling completely replenished and fulfilled. That was my Christmas gift, following up JC.
That's right. For the rest of your career, you can tell people at conferences or wherever you go, you followed up, that JC was your warm-up act.
I love it. You know, I'm moving up in the world. See, I'm throwing some weight around here. But no, actually, in reality, George, I'm just now digging my way out of the blizzard that struck here a week ago, actually, because I do live up here in the mountains of western North Carolina. And as rough as it's been, it's been a beautiful Christmas, and the power's back on. And so I wanted to share a couple of stories with you that I thought you might appreciate regarding my past Christmases.
All right.
You know, I started publishing articles and books when I was a teenager, and I got a job working for the local newspaper, the Asheville Citizen Times. And actually, in 1994, I was Santa Claus for a few hours. I did an article where I actually went and hooked up with this company that produced Santa Clauses and Easter Bunnies, you know, helpers, of course, for the real guys. And I set up shop at the local mall, sitting on a throne, taking children and, you know, getting their stories and wishes down pat. And it's a tough job. In fact, before I could put the suit on and the big, scratchy, kind of suffocating beard, they gave me a list of things that I had to know. For example, I had to know all the reindeer names. And you don't think about that sort of thing, but there are very stringent requirements. And so I took on this role as Santa Claus, and it was so tiring. I had a whole new respect for what it means to be Santa. But then the next year rolled around, and I think, I was 16, believe it or not, when I was Santa Claus. And then the next year here I was 17, and that year the tables had turned. That year I did not have much money at all to buy people Christmas gifts. And so I wrote an article in the paper, and the editor said, "Why don't you write about what you want for Christmas?" Well, being as selfless as possible, of course, I wrote that I would like everybody who has ever enjoyed anything I've written to just send me $1 so that I would have enough money to buy Christmas gifts for my friends and family. And I didn't know what to expect, of course. Well, the first day rolled around, I had nothing. Second day, nothing. Third day, nothing, until the postman actually drove up the driveway, knocked on the door, and had a bag of envelopes.
Oh.
And he poured them out on the floor, just like a scene from Miracle on 34th
yep.
Street. And this continued to happen for a few days in a row. And do you know that I actually got hundreds of dollars, $1 at a time, from the people here in this region who were kind and generous enough to send me money so that I could give my friends and family the best possible Christmas gifts. And to me, that just embodied the whole spirit of Christmas, and I've never forgotten how something that seems impossible can be achieved if just one person at a time believes in it and pitches in just a little bit.
What a great story, Joshua. You have a good new year. We'll be talking with you not next week, but the week after with your paranormal moment, okay?
Sounds good. You too, George. Bye-bye now.
Next up in Topeka, Kansas, we go to Esther on Coast to Coast. Esther, Merry
Hi.
Christmas.
Hi. Hi. Boy, have you changed my life.
I did? What did I do?
Oh, you did. Well, I'm just all topsy-turvy. No, I'm up every night. I go to bed, you know. I can't go right to sleep the minute you're gone because I've got so much to think about. And I have to start working by 9:30 in the morning. So everybody laughs at me because they know, call me at 1 o'clock, I'm up. I'm not going to miss your show.
Before that, I let me sleep at work, right?
Well, I called you about a month and a half ago, and I was very shy because I had never really listened to you. And I was painting. I paint canvases, and I start painting about 10:30 at night, and I had you on. And I called you because I'd written a book, and I was very shy about it. Remember?
Yes, because you don't sound shy tonight.
Well, no, I know you now. I didn't know you then.
Been into the Christmas wine, Esther?
No. Oh. No, I don't do that. No, I just, I listen to you all, and I am no longer afraid to go out and give these talks. In fact, I'll be in St. Louis. April the 16th through the 18th.
I may be back here then.
Really?
I might be, yeah.
I'm giving a talk all 3 days.
Where are you going to be?
Well, it's through the auspices of the Missouri Writers Guild Conference. And to be honest, right this second, I can't think where it is.
Maybe it's even be determined. We'll find out.
It's in a hotel. Is there a Drury Hotel?
Yeah, there's a Drury Inn in downtown St. Louis, and there's another one. There's a couple of them. But
I think that's it. I'll be in Oklahoma City the following weekend, and so I'm kind of getting the hotels mixed up, but I think I'll be there. Yeah.
Well, good for you. This sounds like it's exploding for you.
Thanks to you. Yeah. I was really very shy about it because you do have an advanced reading copy, but, you know, I was so tongue-tied that night, you probably have no desire to read it, but please do.
I always thumb through things. I don't read them, I don't read them all unless they're guests, but I'll get to it.
Well, and whenever I listen to you, my stomach just jumps because you talk about the things that are in my book that I talk about, and my hesitancy, and this isn't even why I called, I'm just off on a tangent here, but my hesitancy was because after my son died, there was so much contact that I was just so hesitant to bandy his name around, you know?
I understand.
And to be subjected to the people who will say that's a bunch of bull. I was on a radio show called Strange Frequencies, if you're familiar with it.
Sure.
And when we got through, it was an hour and 10 minutes, when we got through, the two hosts said, Esther, we have to tell you, we invited you because we were going to trash you. We were thoroughly going to discredit you, but you've answered everything. So honestly, we want you to be back when the book comes out February the 1st, and we'll never do that again. And I had no idea. And that was what I had been in fear of, was people not believing or thinking that I was using my son is some sort of personal vehicle, you know?
Some people, Esther, will do that. You know, they take that negative approach to start.
I know. But you've made me braver. I love your guests. Some of them are pretty strange, but some, 99% of them are wonderful, and you treat it all so great. You have such an inquisitive mind that...
What?
You've just given me great heart. And did you see Dr. Emoto's the jars of rice with his?
No, I haven't seen that yet. I've been looking at his pictures of water, frozen water, but
the crystal.
I haven't seen the rice. Yeah,
I actually saw one of his. There was they were traveling with one of his experiments, and it was three jars of rice, and they were cooked at the same time. They weren't just brewed at the same time and put in jars. They were set in his lab, and each morning when he came in, he would tell one, which was labeled, "I love you." He would tell another, "You were fooled, you're an idiot, I detest you." And he would work up, they said, all of the proper emotion. He would not say it until he felt it. The third one he ignored. And I've since seen this also on the website, but I did see it when they were traveling. I just saw the jars. The one, over a period of time, they were all under the same conditions. The "I love you" one was nice and fluffy and still looked wonderful. The "I hate you" one, there are actual little devil faces.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, among the rice. The one that was ignored turned into the most horrible goop you have ever seen.
See, isn't that interesting?
Yes.
I love it. And, hey, when you get back to Strange Frequencies, tell Bobby and Jason hi for me, all right?
Well, you know, I called him Honey and Sweetheart in the first one when I said, "Honey." I said, "You know, I don't know, honey." He said, "I'm honey." And I said, "And you will remain honey until I can think of your name." So now they're honey and sweetheart to me. I can't think of their names. They were very nice. I actually called for a real reason, though.
What? You mean we haven't even gotten to it yet?
I'm sorry. Well, you know, it's just so great to talk to you.
What's the reason?
Well, you were talking about intervention. At the time I called an hour ago, you had talked about someone, I can't remember now, but I thought, oh, I need to tell you this. I'm starting a new book, and it's called Lanterns in the Dark, and it's about other people who have had the same experiences that I've had, only with my son, Dean. And so I was talking to my aunt tonight, and she's in California, and she said, "Do you remember the story," she said, "of when I was working at the phone company?" And she was 25 years old. She got off at 10 o'clock on a New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve, and she was going to walk from Daytona to Daytona Beach. And there's a bridge that connects the two. And she was going to walk over to her friend's house, and they were going to have a midnight mass or something. So as she's walking over to her friend's house and she's on the bridge, it begins to get a bit foggy. And she really didn't notice until the man was almost right at her that there was a man approaching.
Yeah.
And as he got right to her, he said, "Excuse me, can you tell me where downtown Daytona is?" And she said, "Yes, sir, of course." She turned around and she said, "Do you see the big red Sears light up there through the fog?" He said, "Yes." And she said, "That's the heart of downtown. Just keep going that direction." She turned back to him and he made a grab for her. He actually grabbed her chest. She twisted away and she began to run as hard as she could go. And she's running. And I told her this is like a B movie. She actually tripped because she had on high heels.
And he's right behind her with his axe. Right?
And she scrambled up and she bloodied her knee. She ripped her hose. And as she ran, she began to feel something rubbing her thigh. And she looked down and she said it was the biggest German Shepherd she had ever seen in her life. And that dog paced right with her and stayed so close she felt him against her thigh. She ran all the way to her friend's house, which was a couple of blocks on the other side of the bridge. As she got there, her friends had just stepped out the door, and she screamed to them and ran to them. And as she turned around, the dog was going away, going back the direction they had come.
And what happened to the guy?
She doesn't know.
Disappeared. Okay, but Esther, we got to run. Let me, quick question. I hear an animal in the background.
You don't. You hear my chair squeaking.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Thanks. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, of course, we will have Ian Punnett doing his very special Saturday night show. Next hour, we'll have that very famous letter from Michael to end the program, plus more of your open line phone calls. And when I come right back, we'll take more of your Christmas stories on Coast to Coast AM. Getting ready for the new year now? It starts. It's going to be an interesting year, 2010, isn't it? Let's go now to Zachariah in Indianapolis, Indiana. Zachariah, thanks for holding.
Hey, thank you. thank you, George. I appreciate it, man.
Sure thing. How are you?
What's that?
How are you?
Pretty good, considering the circumstances, sir. Pretty good, you know.
Uh-oh. What happened? What happened? Anything happened?
Well, you know, I guess the worst you could say, our house got broken into yesterday, before Christmas. Yes. And it was, you know, I mean, it was really some small things. I mean, myself, you know, not being a materialist, you know, I mean, if somebody really wants it that much more than me, then let them have it. You know what I mean? That's always kind of how I've been. But, later that night on Christmas Eve night, everything was returned. So, you know, I guess everything came out all right. You know,
the person or the people who took it brought it back, or did the police find it?
Well, I pretty much knew who it was.
Okay.
And so when I put, you know, when I don't want to say put any pressure, but when I, you know, let them know that I knew who it was, they're very eager to give it back up. And so everything, I mean, it was just the stereo and computer, and I hooked it all back up today earlier. So, I mean, Christmas ended up, you know, being, you know.
You got your own presents back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was really quite an experience, you know, to have all that stuff taken the night before Christmas, and then by Christmas to have it all back, and that's, you know, right.
Did they put it on the porch and run, or what happened?
Pretty much, because I mean, they knew who it was, and the police had already been called, you know, and they left some things behind. So, I mean, they knew they were going to get caught up in the situation. So, I guess they just decided that the better route to go would be to return it, and hopefully there would be no prosecution. Which, I mean, myself being one of those people that's kind of like, well, you know, if you take it from me, then obviously you need it more than I do. You know, I kind of didn't really take it too hard. I mean, the fact that you know, somebody breaking into your house, I mean, that's kind of, you know, I don't know. That's about as big as an invasion of privacy as you can.
Absolutely. It's really not the stuff they take. It's the fact that they were in your house.
Exactly.
You know, uninvited.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, even if they'd have taken nothing, it's the fact that they broke in, you know, and took things that, I mean, you know, I mean, regardless of what they took, it really didn't matter. It was the fact that they actually came in and took some stuff, you know what I mean? And so.
Did you like these people, Zachariah, prior to this event?
You know, I got to say, at one point a while ago, they were my friends, you know, but, you know, you get wrapped up in the wrong sort of people, and, you know, things like this happen, you know.
Sounds like they're going down the wrong path, doesn't it?
Yeah. They're definitely headed to a much worse place than I am right now. And so, you know, at the same time that I'm angry, you know, I really, more than my anger, I feel pity. You know what I mean? For them, I can't really, I can't really fault them. All I can really do is pray for them, because at the same time, you know, it's just like, what am I supposed to do? You know what I mean?
Good point.
You know.
Good point. Have a good new year, Zachariah.
Thank you, George.
All right. That's a good story. Las Vegas, Nevada, we go. Sally, you're
up. Nori, Merry Christmas.
You too, Sally.
I wanted to call in and relate a story, or a couple little brief stories.
All right, sure.
About how my parents went the extra distance to make me believe in Santa and get me excited about Christmas. And one year, we would go to my uncle's house on Christmas Eve, and we got back real late, and we lived out in the country, and they had, the doorbell rang. And my mom says, Sally, get the door.
That's the setup right there. Right.
And so I went out there, and there's a brown bag, you know, the grocery bag filled with presents in tracks through the snow. And another year, we had gone to Florida to visit my grandparents, and the next day they had me come outside to see the sleigh tracks in the sand.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Good thing they didn't put them on the roof, huh?
Yeah, that would have been a little more work.
You know, it's interesting, Sally, what parents will do to keep their kids in that spirit of Christmas.
Yeah. And they didn't really use it that much to get me to behave better.
years ago when my girls were just little ones, but they knew what Santa was. They knew who he was. I went out and got a Santa costume. And I had my high school sweetheart wife at the time wake them up, and just enough where they could peek around the corner and see me putting presents under the tree. It was all a setup.
Right.
And you know, then she would scurry them back to the bedroom where there's no way they could go to sleep. And then I, you know, got undressed, put my pajamas on, and off I went. But it was just enough where they saw Santa in the house, and it was so cool.
Yeah, that is great.
Nowadays, you walk around with a Santa costume outside, you get shot at.
Well, yeah, if I saw that outside, I would be a little unnerved.
Definitely don't wear a Bigfoot costume, that's right. For sure. All right, thanks for the story, Sam. Well, yeah.
I wanted to ask you a quick question. I had called about 3 months ago.
Okay.
And I had asked you about getting on Ingrid Newkirk, the founder and president of PETA.
Yes.
And
yes,
have
yes,
you
yes.
made any headway with that?
Yes. Producer Lisa has got all that information for me.
So,
and she's going through the charts and the lists right now. So she's backed up, but she'll get to it.
So you might have her on for a full show?
I don't know if it'll be a full show or whether she'll be part of a full show.
Okay.
All right.
So, yeah, everybody out there, remember the animals. And I have a next-door neighbor that doesn't, they leave their dogs out at night. And even here in Vegas, you know, it's been freezing.
Oh,
at
it's
night.
Cold. And do
so
they bark?
Please bring in your pets and please remember the animals.
Do they bark at night?
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's that you know, I love animals, but it's annoying. People need to take care of their neighbors, you know?
I can't sleep, not because the noise is bothering me, but it bothers me knowing that they're cold out there.
Yeah, you know, you're a good person. All right, thanks, Sally.
Okay, Merry Christmas.
You too. Next up, we go to Jeff in Sacramento, California, on the west of the Rockies. Merry Christmas, Jeffrey.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, George.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. What's up?
I've got a story to tell you. I call this the worth and wisdom of a child.
The worst, okay.
The worth. No, the worth and wisdom.
All right.
The worth and wisdom of a child.
Words and wisdom. Okay.
Just to let you know something about me quick is that I've had a lot of prophetic experiences. I've had quite a few dreams come true, prophetic experiences, things that people have told about me, too. I've met prophets and prophetesses that have told me things. But anyway, so this isn't the only experience I've ever had, but I believe this is a powerful one about a child I used to babysit.
Okay.
Well, this happened last year, a little while before Christmas, but I picked this child up. I was just friends with his mom. She wasn't my girlfriend. She had a boyfriend. I picked up this child to go take him to do some things with him. So I picked him up for the babysitter. But then when I picked him up, as he was standing outside, you know, I was getting my car ready. When I looked at this child and he looked at me, I had this overwhelming sense of the worth and value, the preciousness of this child. But it was so strong. It wasn't natural. It wasn't normal. I mean, it was so overwhelming that I almost cried. I had to hold it back. In fact, my thought was, I didn't think, oh, this is God or anything. I just thought, this is kind of strange. I never felt this form before. I'm thinking, why am I feeling this? And it was just really strong, and I had to go inside to get something and came right back out, you know, from our apartment. And every time I got around that kid, I had this overwhelming sense, so strong, of the value and preciousness of this child. Well, then I took him to McDonald's to play with him, and then I went to a store and then came back, and his mom just got home to her apartment. And then I had to do some patchwork for her that night. We would trade favors. Sometimes she'd do things for me on the internet. Sometimes I would do some, you know, I'd babysit her son, or I had to do some patchwork that night.
Sure.
And so she told me her boyfriend was going to be over in a little while. He was okay with us being friends. And so he got there, and I'm doing the work in the other room and kind of walking back and forth. And I'm in the other room at this point, and I hear her talking with him about doing a drug deal. Now, I knew he was a drug dealer. And I kept trying to talk her out of that situation because she had lost a child to CPS in the past because she was living with a man growing marijuana. And so I kept trying to talk her, warn her that she could lose her son. Well, when I heard her talking about actually helping him to sell the drugs, I was just like, what?
You were in shock.
Yeah, she's actually helped helping himself. He's not just digging. I wanted to go out there and yell at both of them and just yell and say, what are you doing? Do you see this child? You're jeopardizing the life of this child. You know, I was almost tempted to want to call the police or CPS or something. But
yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I started praying, though. I go, okay, God, I know these people really need some help. So I was praying, and then I was leaving. And when I left, I said goodbye to her and her boyfriend sitting on the couch. And then I said goodbye to her son, who was standing near the door. Now, get this. He looked back at them just for like a second. Then he looked up at me, and he started crying. And he lifted his hands up in the air like he wanted to go with me.
Oh.
Now, get this. This wasn't a natural thing for him to do. He never did this before this point. He never did it after this point. He only did it this one night. And I was kind of in shock because he never cried when I was leaving. He would only cry if she was, like, leaving him with me and going off to work or something.
Right.
But never cried when she was right there and I was leaving. And I kind of laughed because it was a shock. And I said, well, that's a new one. He's never did that before. And you know what she said? She said, sarcastically, he doesn't want to be around his bad people.
Ugh.
And I went away, and it hit me at some point. I'm not sure when, but at some point it hit me. I was like, wait a minute. I almost started crying when I picked him up. He did start crying when I left. And in between that, they were talking about doing a drug deal. And I believe that the hand of God touched that child. He sensed that the evil that they were a part of, and that he didn't want to be there.
He didn't want any part of it.
Yeah, and that, I call that the worth and wisdom of a child, because, of course, the worth is obvious, but also that child had more wisdom than them, because he would have, so the wisdom that that child had is that he didn't want to be around evil. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. So he had more wisdom than his own mom and a drug dealing boyfriend.
Whatever happened to all of them, Jeff?
Well, the sad thing is she won't talk to me anymore. She did break up with him at one point, but she has a long string, and she keeps getting in relationships
Badness.
With bad men over and over again. I tried to talk her out of that, tell her she should read some relationship books and stuff, and I told her that it's child endangerment to be dating a drug dealer.
Well, let me tell you, it's just low self-esteem on her part.
Well, yeah, it's part of it, but she also loves evil. There's a lot of things I've picked up. I have different spiritual gifts. I could sense some things about her, and she has.
Move on, Jeffrey.
Problems.
Move on. As tough as it is. Thanks, Jeff. You have a good new year. Let's go to La Mesa, California. Travis, you're up with us. Hey, Travis.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm a first-time caller, and I just have a question to ask you, honestly.
Sure. Okay.
I just want to ask you if you believe in miracles.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, then I got a story for you.
Okay.
I'm 19 years old. I'm homeless. And it's okay, though. There's one thing that I really wanted more than anything, and that was to walk down my street for Christmas, because it brings back childhood memories for me. You know,
You mean the home you were raised in?
Yes, the home I was raised in. And I was walking down the street, and, you know, I'm really concerned about, you know, I gotta look for, you know, the shelter and stuff, but, you know, shelters are filled for the holidays. So, you know, I'm not going to be selfless, and I'm not going to take away somebody else's bed and stuff like that. But, you know, I decided to take a walk and a stroll down the street of my old neighborhood, and it's pretty cold outside. And it just so happened that I walked past my neighbor's house, and he had his light on, and I just thought I'd go up to him and say hi, and it was almost like instant for me. Like, if it was almost like I saw the angel inside of him, and
yeah. Did he remember you?
I don't know if he remembered me at first, but he definitely remembered my face, because he remembered my smile, and just the happiness. I don't know. I just knew it was right, and I've been a believer in God my whole life, and faith has never let me down. And you know, he let me stay at his house for the night, and that was the best Christmas gift I could have ever gotten, was just a place to stay. And you know, I didn't even want gifts. It was so selfless. It was just like
that is cool.
It was just like that. that feeling, that feeling of somebody just doing a nice thing for me, you know?
That is cool. How old are you?
I'm 19.
19, you said. And when you say you're homeless, I mean, are you working or you can't find work? What's going on there?
Well, I mean, in today's economy, it's really, really hard to find a job, and I try every day. And I just can't give up, you know? I got to keep trying. It's hard, but...
What do you like? What do you think you're good at?
I love to sing. I love to sing. I don't have a very good voice, but I try every day. So
well, you know, that singing is fine, but it's, you know, it's not a career for everybody.
Right, right.
You know, I get these emerging artist CDs, you know, that we play on Sundays, and they're coming in by the thousands, but they're having fun. But if you had to work and sing part time or for fun, what would the job be?
I would do anything.
Focus. Now, don't say anything. Focus on something you really want to do.
I want to do everything, man. I want to get my feet wet and everything. And I have a good heart, and my heart's made of gold. And I just want everybody to know that, you know, you might not have gotten what you want for Christmas, but just know that the love that people have for you will always be there. Always.
All right. Pick, and you do a favor for me, Travis. You pick two things that you love to do besides singing. You always have that. And that's what I want you to go for.
I will do that, man.
All right? Just focus. Focus on two things and use those energies and that resource that you have in your brain. You sound like a smart kid.
Thank you.
Go for it. Go for it.
I'm going to follow my dreams.
Next call I hear from you will be you have a job. And you got a little apartment, and you're just growing.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm going.
You got one thing that I would pay you whatever I could if I could buy it from you, and that's your age. If I could buy 10 years from you, if I could make you 29 and me 49, I'd be the happiest guy in the world.
I am a happy kid, and you know it's something that a lot of people have lost. You know, that just that the spirit of giving, it's something that, you know, a lot of people just don't understand. But, you know, I'm homeless, and I know that there's a lot of homeless youth out there, and I'm just trying to send that message out that.
All right. You stay safe when you're on the streets, and then focus on two things, and have a good new year.
Absolutely. Have a nice day.
You too. That's a really neat young individual, I'll tell you that. Emails, by the way, lots of you are sending me fast blasts. By the way, I had mentioned several weeks ago, we were working on a polling system for the website. We are, when I get back to LA, I'm going to be meeting with our digital executive vice president, Brian LeCamp, and we're going to get that finalized. And what we'll be able to do, I'm calling it our Insta poll, Insta-poll, and webmaster Lex and Sean and Tim Banal, whenever he's with us, we'll be able to put up instant polling questions, and I'll get you the results, or you can go to the website and see them. So that's going to be a neat tool. I'll be back in a moment with more of your Christmas stories on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie.